Hey guys, and happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday to you guys. However you honor that, I hope you and your family have a great day and remember why we celebrate this day. But I hope everybody's had a great weekend so far. Today is my March Madness, pretty much finale episode, okay? Now granted, the Women's Championship is tonight and the men play tomorrow. But I'll kind of touch on it a little bit on Thursday, the outcome of them. But as far as a full episode dedicated to it, I am just going to do that. This will be my last one for that. And I am so sad to see that March Madness is over. But we are going to discuss that today. And I did want to say a couple things regarding the tournament and everything. So we'll talk about that first, and then we'll jump into the Final Four and then the championship games. Let's get into it. All right. So last time when I talked about when I did a March Madness episode, I started with the men. So I'm going to start with the women this time. And I'm gonna say this, the women's tournament in general this year has been probably the best, like, since I've started, like, really getting into women's basketball, filling out brackets for them and things like that. This was the best year ever to me. I thought that, because, you know, before in my first episode, I said, you know, the women's tournament, pretty much there are no shakeups. You know, everything, the chips pretty much fall where they are until, you know, it gets a little spicy around the Elite Eight. Well, I was wrong. I mean, there were some early upsets. The games were so good. The games were close. The officials let them play, you know. Like I talked about last episode is, you know, people were upset about the UConn and Baylor no call, but I feel like they let them play. And I feel like the officials have done a pretty decent job in the women's tournament. I feel like the games were very competitive. For the most part, you only had a couple blowouts that I can really think of, which set up for a great Final Four. All the teams that got there, I thought that they fought hard to be there. We had, you know, Coach Barnes. I want to talk about that game first, because Arizona coach, if you don't know who I'm talking about, Coach Barnes, they won a pretty, you know, they won a pretty good close game the other night. I wouldn't even say it was close because I'm pretty sure they won by 10 points. And to beat a UConn team by 10 points is pretty good, you know? And I'm going to say this about that game. If you watch that game, even if you aren't a fan of Arizona, but those kids looked like they were having fun while playing. I mean, they were smiling. It was just the coach was smiling. It was like she was their teammate. She was their biggest cheerleader. And you know, there was a whole big deal because she had a huddle at half court, which those things are like a personal moment with your team at half court. Cause sometimes coaches do, you know, like a quick prayer, you know, they, you know, depending on how they, you know, whatever their traditions are at the end of the game, they could do like a quick prayer, you know, it could be like their little closure. It could be something where the seniors say something. But in this instance, she said what she had to say. She said what she said. And there were some explicits that were said. And she celebrated with her team. And, you know, ESPN cameras were being all up in their business and caught her on camera. And the snow bunnies, the very fragile people in our country, said she needed to apologize for what? And I am so proud of her for saying at her press conference that she was not going to apologize. I am so happy for that because, you know, I've talked about before when people say things and then they apologize for it when they meant what they said. I'm so proud of her because the fact that people expect her to apologize, that she said some things in a passionate moment with her, a passionate private moment with her team at that, is ridiculous that you guys think she should apologize. And if you think she should apologize, you need to stop watching sports, period. Because I'm trying to figure out how many times y'all made these wanted these men's coach, these men's teams coaches to apologize. We'll wait, because you haven't. There is no standard when it comes to women as far as what they should and should not say. Well, she should act like a lady. Well, you should be quiet and stay on your couch, okay? But I'm so glad she shared that moment with her team, and I'm happy for her, you know? Because when you know, you go up against a UConn, it's like in Arizona, you just didn't expect them to be there. I mean, if you we're being honest, no shade to them, but it just didn't, you know, as far as rankings are concerned, you just would assume that the higher seed would be there. But, you know, after watching them over this whole tournament, they have one of the best defenses out there. They play defense well, and they out-hustling pretty much every team they play. And, you know, sometimes when it comes to playing a team with a ton of talent, the hustle and heart of a team can get you beat. Seriously. So, you know, like I said, I'm happy for them. They are going to meet Stanford. You know, Tara Vanderveer, she has, you know, been there, done that. She's the winningest coach in women's basketball. She passed Coach Summit. But, you know, that's going to be a tall task for Arizona. But like I said, heart and hustle can get you beat, you know, when anybody can win on any given day. So I am looking forward to that. And then, okay, on the flip side, the other game was South Carolina and Stanford. Great game. Great game. Again, the officials let them play. South Carolina had a chance at the end. You know, the girl that took the layup after they got the steal. You know, you would think that, you know, kids in those moments, you know, basically what I'm saying is if I would have taken that layup, you were going to have to call a charge on me because I was taking it so hard to the defense. She kind of faded away from the defense when she took the shot. Brown did get the rebound. She got a look at it. It was just a lot of contact, a lot of bodies. I'm not saying she got fouled, but it was just like, it was just a lot of bodies right there when she took the shot. She got a decent look at it, but it did not fall for her. You know, with those games, you hate that somebody has to lose. But Stanford did their job on the boards. Brown got in a little bit of foul trouble. Brown is the best center in the country. Let's be clear. South Carolina will be very good. They'll be back. I'm going to say right now, unless something crazy happens, I think South Carolina will be champions, or at least in the championship game, the next 2 years, minimum. That's how good I think they are. I think just, you know, they started off that game well, and then they went through a little, you know, period where they didn't score, and Stanford went on kind of like a run. Because I felt like South Carolina was the most consistent team at that point, besides, you know, Arizona. I mean, I thought they were a little bit more consistent than Arizona. I just thought Stanford played a very good game. They started off slow, but I felt like they finished, you know, they did what they needed to do. That game was great. You know, 1-point game. Stanford will go into the championship against Arizona. I don't know. Some people think Stanford is too much for Arizona, but we'll see. That game is at 6:00 tonight, Central Standard Time. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to say this. I'm going to cheer for Arizona, but I think Stanford will win. I think that'll be a good win for Coach Barnes, her program, her legacy. But I wish both teams, you know, the best, and may the best woman win. Moving over to the men. The first game last night was absolutely the most boring thing I ever had to sit through in my life. I hate games like that where it's a blowout, especially games where it's supposed to be like competitive. It's a championship game. You know, Houston did not show up. They were playing like they were scared. It's like, bruh, you made the Final Four. Now, what are you going to do with it? I'm not taking away from their season and what they did to get to the Final Four. Okay, and it's like, now you're there. Are you going to compete or are you going to lay down? And I felt like they started off scared, and you can't get down to a Baylor team by 25 at halftime and think that you're going to come back. When they were down at halftime, I knew they were going to lose because it didn't matter what they did. You can't get down that much to a Baylor team, period. Baylor is very good. If you haven't, I watched Baylor men play during regular season, and I thought, dang, they're going to win the championship because I thought they were very good. Now, the Zags, I picked them to win it all. They are undefeated. It would be nice for them to continue to be undefeated and, you know, get in the record books. But, yeah, Baylor was tough last night. Beat Houston to death. Yeah, so I probably spent more time drinking that game than like, at one point, I probably had taken more sips than my drink than Houston had points. And so I knew that that was going to make that be a long night. And yes, it was. but congratulations to Baylor on making it to the championship. I'm pretty sure a lot of people in their brackets have Baylor and Gonzaga as the, you know, plan for the championship. So we'll see. UCLA, I thought that the Zags would blow them out. And I use that in a loosely, blow them out. I thought that they would beat them by, you know, 10, 11, 12 points. They took those bad boys to overtime. That's what I'm talking about, UCLA. Because Houston, you made it, right? And you really made it to a spot that it wasn't like you're a number 11 seed like UCLA. It's like you were the number 2 seed in your region and you made it and you laid down. But this is number 11. This is what you do, guys. You make it far and you go into 3 overtimes to get to the Final Four. When you get to the Final Four, you play your heart out. Okay? You play like that's the last time you're gonna touch that floor. UCLA, they balled. They balled. But the Zags were too much and they got a lucky bank shot. Right? And you know, that game was really good. Like, at one point, I was like, they cannot go into overtime. Because at this point, I was like, I need to be in the bed right now. And then they went into overtime. And I was like, I'm going to just have to catch that in the morning. But I couldn't turn it off because it was so good. Because nobody would pull away. Even when the Zags went up by 5, I was like, okay, well, that's comfortable. And then they came down and hit a 3. And I was like, oh, Lord, I need to go to bed. But Jalen Suggs. Boy, listen, the dude is clutch. And you know why I say that, if you've watched him at all this year. And I think I said Suggs, I meant Suggs. But he pulled that 3-pointer up last night like it was a free throw. And ran off like he had already made it. If you really pay attention to it, he was running like, you know how Steph Curry, when he shoots a 3 and does, like he kind of runs back like he's made it. That's the confidence he had when he let that fly. And a bank shot at that. So my question is, did you call it? But I hate that. I hate that for UCLA to lose like that. I've always said I would rather lose by 50 than on the last second shot. Because that last second shot makes you sleep, makes you lose a ton of sleep because you think about the shoulda, woulda, couldas. If you lose by 50, I mean, at this point, it's like you come to terms with the L during the L, right? But congratulations to UCLA on a great season, a great tournament run. Now, Zags, are you going to be 32-0? Or are you going to be 31-1? So we'll see, but I'm thinking tomorrow that's going to be a good game. I mean, I keep saying tomorrow because tomorrow, Monday. See, my days are all off. But yes, they play tomorrow at 8:20 p.m. Central Time, okay? So for you people that are on Eastern Standard Time, I am so sorry that you would be up that late. I always say on a school night. But yeah, I think that that would be a great game between Baylor and the Zags. Two very good teams, two very well coached teams at that. So I'm really looking forward to that. But overall, this year for March Madness, you know, people had to, you know, kind of make up in their mind, you know, because this is like, because, you know, last year there was no tournament. So it's like, how do you top? How do you come back the next year where you had no tournament? And, you know what I'm saying? Like, this year, like, how do you make it a good one? I mean, this tournament was excellent. This was probably the best March Madness, hands down. The men had some great games, tons of upsets. I mean, most people's brackets were done for day one. Which that sometimes that happens, but I mean, it was really good. It was a good tournament on the both the men's and women's side. I thought the NCAA did well at making sure all the kids were safe, the coaches were safe. I did hear that an Alabama fan, a super fan, I think it was one of their students, he went to their game in Indianapolis, and I think they said a couple days after he went home, he was hospitalized with COVID-19 and he did pass away. My heart goes out to him and his family. Of course, the Alabama Crimson Tide family. You know, other than that, I didn't hear anything as far as like COVID concerns. I know now that there is a trace concern about who he was exposed to, who he exposed himself to, and things like that, being in the stands. Or if it was something that he, you know, picked up once he got back or on his flight, and it just, you know, affected him rapidly. But they didn't say whether or not, or I haven't read where he had any kind of underlying conditions or anything like that. But definitely want to send prayers to the Crimson Tide family and, of course, his friends and family. And I apologize for not knowing his name, but they did say it was a one of their super fans that was a student there. I think he was like 23. Like, he was a very young kid. But other than that, I think the NCAA did a good job at keeping, you know, them safe. They did fumble the bag on the whole weight room situation, and let's not revisit that. And one of the other things that if you don't have like a child or someone that you know, or have actually been an NCAA athlete yourself, I went to a small Division I college, right? I went to Lipscomb University, and I did two sports, okay? And whenever you go to an NCAA tournament, you get gifts. Like, they give you gifts, depending on which level. Like, each level you go to, you get a gift. So, like, if you make the tournament, you get a gift. So, like, when we made the tournament, they gave the team watches. And for like track, cause I told you I did track and field. Oh, well, I didn't, let's be clear. I didn't run anywhere. I did shot put, discus, and javelin in college. And, they give you like a plaque and some other things and like some gear. I think that those need to start being a little more even as well, kind of like the gifts that each group gets. Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, if that those gifts are different from the men and women side. And I would assume that a lot of the things that the NCAA does is based on revenue and things like that. But again, you've got kids, men or women, who and you kind of say they play for free. You use that loosely because they do get scholarships. You know, they do get scholarships that are worth thousands and thousands of dollars, right? But at the same time, the issue is not the scholarships. The issue is that the NCAA is profiting off of their likeness, right? So it's like giving somebody a salary, but then you're not paying them for using them for advertisement. Does that make sense? So it's like you need to pay them for both. So you can pay them through those other avenues, you know, but just make sure it's equal. But other than that, as a whole, I thought it was a great tournament. Hopefully, because every year I go to the Women's Final Four. and I do the WBCA women's conference, which is always at the same time as the Final Four. And if you don't know what the WBCA, it's the Women's Basketball Coaches Association. They do a really good job. They make it really fun, put together a lot of different things to grow as a coach. It's a good time. I'm gonna talk about that one day. And talk about an experience that I had there. I might actually talk about that Thursday, just because we're in the, you know, whole March Madness spirit, even though it's April now. But like I said, as a whole, I thought it was an excellent tournament. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to football season. Like you have no idea. I love college football. I like the Falcons. That's pretty much the extent of the NFL I'll watch. I'll watch, of course, the Super Bowl, the playoffs, you know, those things like that. But as far as watching, I can watch any college football game. Like, it doesn't matter who's playing, I'll watch it. I just love it. And, you know, as a Georgia fan, we're already suffering. Good grief. I just want to have a stress-free spring. I want to have a stress-free season with the Georgia Bulldogs one time. So far this year, our number one receiver tore his ACL, so he's out. But the thing about him being out is he was out for a pretty decent amount of games, you know, this past season. But it hurt us against Florida because that kind of went to, you know. But we can't lose to Florida now. I don't care who we lose to all year. We just can't lose to Florida, okay? And then another one of our wide receivers, he sprained his wrist. Another dude, like, it's just like, y'all just please stay healthy in these scrimmages. Cause you know, scrimmages are a necessary evil. You know what I'm saying? But then when you have contact in those scrimmages, you know, it's the risk they take, you know, that's tough. But anywho, I'm looking forward to college football season. I'm psychotic when it comes to my Georgia Bulldogs. Yeah, but it's a fun time for me. And then summer's coming up. So, yeah, next week I'm gonna talk about that conference just because. I'm going to talk about the WBCA conference and any coaches out there for something, especially it doesn't matter what sex you are, men or women that coach girls sports. It could be like professional. It could be collegiate. It could be high school. It could be AAU. They open that conference up to everybody. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that because I think that's a good thing to talk about. Also, I got some good feedback from you guys about Beanie Nation. So I think I might do it. I got to look into how to get everything started. But people did say the Instagram, I should, like, you know, because it was like, should I do it between Instagram and YouTube? It was that I should do it on YouTube, build a following and a base from YouTube, and then occasionally do them on live. So you guys can, you know, once you actually have people that can interact while you're being live, as opposed to pretty much recording live, if that makes sense. So yeah, so I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna start that in May. So I'm gonna kind of do research and do everything I need to do to get it ready for. And then I'll let you guys know here when I'm ready to move there and you can come subscribe to my page. But I'm looking forward to that. But anyways, I hope everybody has a happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday, however you classify that for you and your family. You guys be safe. You have a great week. Stay blessed. Stay safe. I'll see you guys on Thursday. Take care.